Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, here it is Friday already, June 4. How quickly the week has gone by. This will be the last time that I'll be able to offer Sermon of the Month number 6, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled, Every Believer, a Gifted Believer. Our way of saying thanks for writing to us and letting us know on which station you hear the Beacon broadcast. Our way also of distributing God's Word in a form where you can pass it around, share it with somebody else who perhaps does not listen to the Beacon broadcast. Every believer, a gifted believer, from Romans chapter 12. We'll send you one when we receive your request, along with the call letters of this station and your return address. And let us know if you don't want cassette tape, which would be the automatic form, but if you'd rather have it in the CD format, let us know that as well. You can mail your request to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Well, for the last several days, we have been learning something of the significant implications for the meeting of Christ with his assembled disciples on the evening of the first day of the week in John chapter 20, verse 19. And we see that this begins to set the pattern for Christian worship. There is a designated day for Christian worship. The pattern is laid down for us in John chapter 20 and verse 19. Then the same day, that is the day when Christ rose from the dead, which we know was the first day of the week. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Don't you want Jesus to come into the midst of your assembly on the first day of the week and say, Peace be unto you? That's what I desire. And that's the pattern that the Lord is setting here. He wants his people to assemble. He wants them to assemble upon the first day of the week. Now, as we saw on the broadcast yesterday, this pattern is a developing, emerging, re-emphasized pattern when we realize that the next time the Lord met with his disciples was the following first day, Thomas being present the second time after being absent the first time. There's a reinforcement of the pattern. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 fell upon the first day of the week, another reinforcing of the pattern, and on it goes throughout the New Testament. As, for example, in Acts chapter 20, we have a very interesting account. I'll read verse 7, and then we'll have to back up. But it says, And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Very interesting text. The text opens by telling us that this assembly of the saints was upon the first day of the week. We shouldn't be surprised at that. That's the pattern that we've already seen emphasized in John and in Acts chapter 2. And now we see it again in Acts chapter 20. Paul has come to Troas to meet with the saints. If you want to meet with the saints, when do you meet with them? On the first day of the week. And when the first day of the week, or upon the first day of the week, Acts 27, when the disciples came together to break bread, the first day of the week was the day when the disciples came together to break bread. The breaking bread is undoubtedly a reference to the Lord's table, the communion service. In this day, it seems as if it was almost always combined together with a fellowship meal, an agape meal. Just like Christ instituted the Lord's table from the Passover meal, which was a real meal, where people sat down at the table and ate a meal, or reclined around the table and ate a meal. And it appears that the early Christians did much the same. You find reference to that in the first epistle to the Corinthians. And so they came together to break bread, which means probably a combination of, they came together to share a common meal. They had a fellowship supper, potluck dinner, whatever you want to call it. They came together, brought their food together, shared their fellowship together, had a worship service together, observed the Lord's table together, and don't forget, they heard a sermon. They're gathering together to worship and to be instructed. They had a lot going on. And Paul preached, and he preached till midnight. Now, when do you think their assembly began? I don't think they were assembling on Sunday morning, if Paul preached until midnight. The evidence is that they gathered after dusk, after dark, in the evening, on the first day of the week, had their supper together, observed the Lord's table together, and then they worshiped and heard a sermon from God's Word together, and Paul preached until midnight. So if they met, and I couldn't tell you the time, if they met at 6 o'clock, the service went at least 6 hours. If they met at 7 o'clock, the service went, well, it actually went longer than that because Paul preached till midnight. Then the man fell out of the window. Paul went down, raised him from the dead, came back up, and continued his sermon until dawn. That was a long church service. We don't have many like that. You say, thank God. We don't have many like that. Of course, if the Apostle Paul were coming to our church, we might be willing to stay that long, but I don't know how many people would. Wonder how many people would get up and go home before the service was over. There must have been something different about those Christians. Those Christians must have been more eager to hear the Word of God. They must have been more eager for Christian worship than we are today. Well, you say, why did they meet at night instead of in the morning? Why didn't they meet at Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? That's the proper time, right? That's the time when churches meet. Why did they meet at a different time from that? Well, since the Bible doesn't tell us, I can't be dogmatic, but my guess is because Sunday was a work day for most people. We're talking about when Christianity was very new. We're talking about Christianity coming into a culture where there was no established first day worship. Jews worshipped on the seventh day. Pagans didn't have a designated day of worship. Sunday, for most people, would be a normal working day. They had to go to their jobs. They came to church when they got off work. I think that's the answer. They came to church when they got off work. They couldn't observe the Lord's Day, the first day, as a day of rest, as a Christian Sabbath. They just really couldn't do that. Some might have been able to if they were wealthy. If they ran their own business, they probably could have done that, though there's no indication that they necessarily did. But people who were employed by others, slaves, they wouldn't have that option. They'd have to put in their normal day's work, then come to church and eat together, observe the Lord's table together, fellowship together, hear the Word of God, listen to sermons together. And they did that. They didn't consider their having put in a day's work a reason why they couldn't come. They didn't consider having put in a day's work a reason why they would be too tired, wouldn't be able to stay awake, wouldn't find that a good time. You say, well, one guy didn't stay awake. Yeah, but that wasn't until midnight. I'm actually surprised that only one guy fell asleep under these conditions, aren't you? They must have been very eager to hear the Word of God. But this establishes when it was that Christians met, the first day of the week. Now, there's some people who take exception to that. Not very many, of course. It seems so obvious. It seems so unarguable, the things that I've just said from the text in Acts 27. It seems impossible that anybody could argue against that. But, of course, those who are still holding out for seventh-day worship will argue against that. And they'll say, in effect, that Christians met together on the seventh day for worship, and then this was a special meeting. Yes, they came together again on the first day to have a special service, kind of like a Bible conference or a revival service or something, where we come together at other times rather than the first day of the week. All right, if that's what you think it is, if that's the explanation, then now back up into Acts chapter 20 and see what's going on here. It says they came to Greece in verse 2, and there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, I'm reading Acts 20 verse 3, as he was about to sail to Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Troas is in Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Troas is the city in question now in Acts chapter 20. And we sailed away from Pamphylia after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. In other words, Paul, apparently, if you figure all this out, apparently landed in Troas on Monday. Well, and he was in a hurry, by the way, to get to Jerusalem, an exceeding hurry. He didn't have time to tarry. You'll have to read the entire chapter to get that information. But he was in one hurry to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. So he arrived on Monday. He's in a hurry. Why doesn't he assemble the church on Monday? Well, because he'd have had a hard time getting them all together on Monday. In fact, it would have been impossible. You see, it's very clear here. When you read the whole account, it's very clear here that the disciples assembled on the first day, that in Troas, apparently, that was the only time when they assembled, or at least when all of them assembled. If Paul wanted to meet with the assembly, the whole assembly of the church, he had to wait until Sunday. He landed on Monday, but he couldn't meet with them all on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Or Saturday. If he could have, he would have, and he would have been back on that boat and heading on Sunday. But he couldn't do that. If he wanted to meet with the whole church at Troas, there was only one time he could do it, on the first day. And it was important enough to Paul to assemble with the entire assembly on the first day that he waited there until the first day came, made his appearance, assembled with the church, preached to the church, and then got up and headed out as quickly as he could. As soon as he had concluded the service at dawn, after having resurrected the guy who'd fell out of the window, they resumed their journey immediately. You could hardly find any stronger evidence for the first day worship being the established day already at this time. Why? Because the disciples picked it up very quickly. They knew what Christ was instructing them back in John chapter 20 and in Acts chapter 2. They caught on. They understood. When Paul established churches across the Gentile world, he taught them this pattern. And they followed it. The assembly assembled on the first day of the week. Until next week, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.